Interrupting the current neo-coronial cricketism to bring you Behind the Woodshed. This is Cricketude Busting episode BTW RLM 441. Glad to be here. Almost didn't get online again. At any rate, let's move on. Let's keep on moving, folks. It's interesting little bag of things, tricks going on. When you start to do the right thing, it seems that, I'm telling you, it's like poking the worm. It'll respond. If you think it doesn't have a response, or in this case, now it's not responding, and this is a good thing. When you get the crickets being the government or the officials, so-called, then you're on to some focus. So I'm going to offer two documents this week, I think, when we get to there in the broadcast, relative to what you can do. And I think even after relative to your exemptions that you want to do in these jabs as a deflecting opportunity, a record-making opportunity, even after that time, I'd submit these things anyway. But I'm not quite sure, haven't heard anything negative yet about these documents. I was having a little bit of trouble with how people were responding in managing some of the responses that we were getting from these documents to their exemptions and things, particularly the religious exemption, which I showed you last week. The conscientious objection is a slight bit different, but it's very, very similar, and it doesn't have to be anything religious. And and that's if you don't challenge what I've been asking you to do up front, which is the challenge for the failure to demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency. That's a burden on the business, and it's the burden on the government. So I don't know what else I can offer to people to help them. And we move from being a deer in the headlights into starting to assert ourselves and learning what that was supposed to be that we thought was being handled for us. You know, you really, people must see when you leave it to the rats to play what terror and mess they make of things and why it was so important for that we even had to be told, and we're still not understanding it, that we had a republic if we wished to keep one. And when we didn't, I don't know of anybody living today that's ever tried really kept the republic. Some of us have done our best to expose that it's been occupied. We haven't stopped it. And that's going to take a whole lot more of us. You know, if people can't look at what's been going on, and we see under cover of nice warm and fuzzy words, the war on drugs, like we thought the drug war was going to be something we would stop drugs. Everybody can kind of agree that drugs are not really good. Anybody who has any thought in their brain realizes that they can bring people down. And I'm talking about these illicit style drugs. I don't even want to get into whether they should be or not, just that they are. They can cause trouble. You make it very directly affect your life. That can't be good. And so the point is, that's a stalking horse. And if it was ever meant to be won, the war on drugs has been inexorably lost, where the government itself became the drug pusher here, pushing the death jets, and then complains that there are people that don't want to be drug addicts or acquire AIDS. That byproduct of these jabs being your immune system dysfunction. That's what we're claiming AIDS was. And this is the same coming from the same group of thugs and criminals as generated that and created that. So, again, forcing the choice between the jab or jab injury without demonstrating that non-fraudulent exigency is criminal. It's extortion, it's coercion, it's conversion when both extortion and coercion are existent. It's treason where you find they're making war on your laws. Notice the little treason statement. It's not war on you. You see, the people are really irrelevant to this whole thing. It's war on the laws that were purported to be protective. You've got to really consider why things are laid out the way they are. And organized crime is what we're looking at under color of legitimate government. We haven't been really, people complain to the bad government. We haven't been under an organic established government functioning as such for a long time. I don't even know if we would know what they look like. I guess we would know when we finally start living more at peace. All right, the peace was supposed to be kept by the local sheriff type of thing, and we're not living in peace. We're finding a bunch of excuses. In fact, as I'm working, it's been quite a couple of months now, a number of months I've been working on our complaint. I'm speaking to a sheriff that I already know won't step up. So who am I really speaking to? Well, it's going to have to be the public at large, the court of public opinion that I hope I can invoke into some response to help, because we're not going to get it out of these public officials. So here I've spent months, literally months of my life, writing a complaint against the Forest Service attacking on us. And folks, I go through this list. I'm making the complaint I'd never wanted to make, that I said a long time ago, when officials go bad, the list of harm, of crime violations, is arm's length or leg length long. It's just endless. But that's the complaint I've been writing. I know that, to my dismay, but this is what happens. And when you start reading enough and you start writing enough, you start wondering, you'll be like me, you wonder, what's the question? What's the question here? It's always, why am I having to do this? And what's the question? Where is it a question that these people are not criminals? But that's not just an opinion. That's relating to black and white, objective basis written somewhere. Why that becomes so important. It is, if you will, our man-made salvation that we do put things in writing. And so I've been asking you all to protect yourself. Protect yourself by bringing forth the duties and obligations of the officials and their failure, if there is any, and you document that, not as your opinion, just a clear failure. And you put that on the record as a failure of duty and obligation that doesn't allow them jurisdiction, which we talked about last week a bit. I hope I clarified that a little bit better. There's a subtlety about the jurisdiction, the word of jurisdiction and authority. They have to have jurisdiction before authority can happen. And so that's a little bit of confusion. Getting on keeping here, these people are well outside the law. And I've been writing a complaint here for what's going on, and I cannot get the point. Why are we having to do this as a people? But the other point is that we are. And that's where the rub comes. And a lot of people don't want to do much. I get it, but I keep telling you, this thing's not going away if you haven't seen what they're doing with it. And what it takes is that you rise up. And here we have the abomination in the Middle East. However, their people were vacuumed in over there, and they are the poster child for what not to do relative to the vaccines and what a government is willing to do to people. Remember, you have the Zionistas, the organized criminal Zionistas, doing this to people over in Israel. Well, maybe finally, and this is the sentiment of this article, Israelis rise up against vaccine passports after being told more shots needed to be considered fully vaccinated. When are you going to draw the line? This is where in international law, any government, no matter what you think they are or what they do, the people inside it, the ones that are wielding the tyrannical power, they fear people stepping up and the natives getting restless. That's international law. This is not even a question. How the people haven't figured that out has really been amazing to me. So they're finally rising up in Israel. The people there are finally starting to say, hey, wait a minute, now it took four times to be incorporating more jabs in order to make this work. I'm being reprogrammed more and more. We're starting to read the proof of the actual science behind it. These jabs, I cannot stress more. I cannot find that they're a biological agent at all. Zero biology. Zero. They cannot be contracted. You can't even make a contract with them. No, they are an attack. This is a chemical weapon attack, and it's novel. In other words, it was man-made and invented. And people are finally, after four times, saying, wait a minute, this is like endless. That's right. And that also presses on what you need to start thinking about. Well, how did you know it wasn't supposed to be endless? Is you going to the Communicable Disease Code? Yes, I'm a harpy on this, because it's so short and simple to read it for yourself. Like I thought the habeas paperwork would be a little bit longer to get the details, but I thought everybody would jump on this, write up a habeas, have it in their pocket, ready to go. No, it didn't. It hasn't really happened. I haven't heard anybody really following through on all that. This is where this is coming, not rioting in the streets like the Israelis are starting to do it everywhere else. And great that they're doing that. It's taking to task the government that's not following what the black and white said that allows them the jurisdiction to have the authority to say. Anyway, so finally, in Tel Aviv, people are rising up. Their green pass. I told you, watch this country. Watch this, these Zionists, the organized criminals in this little place. Watch them be a leader of sorts. Now, China started it, and they kind of led the way with how you take down how you take down societies. It was big enough in the world, not the entire world. I told you they used test nations. Nations big enough and had a draconian system that they could do it very quickly. And you watch that ripple out, and in places that were not supposed to, like the United States of America for sure, we did not step up and say, no, you went too far. And here's where. Just like I told you, I've told you over and over, we could see relative to the Virginia case and the mass of people that were available to say, there's been a maladministration of the government, and we are going to end it as the people, not just one of you. It takes this level. This is how this has been working. And so what I've been offering to you is, okay, the battle is against you in the trenches. It's every case-by-case matter on you. You have to step up. Right? You have to do this for yourself. And I've been offering the ways to begin. If it isn't an insight on how it's absolutely done, it's an instance of example of how you're going to get a long way there if you have no other thought. And so far, I guess I'm testing what I'm offering people in the reflection of what comes on from the beast. And it's still doing well. I'm still not able to alter to you any more information to update. Just keep following what I've been saying. If you don't understand, please do a little bit of research. When you start reading, when you read the what's supposed to have happened for you folks, and it didn't, it should come very clear. Getting the black and white beyond your opinions and what we're thinking, what you're told, or what even I say, getting the words down and really analyzing what's going on and using this thing to focus our attention on just one place in the statute where there's requirements to be done, and you see it's written to be done and then none of them were, that is where you get to say, hey, wait, you can't move until you show me. The show me state, misery. Where are you? Show me state. Everybody has this power, but it's down to every man and woman. It's a case-by-case basis, and this is our most powerful place. It seems vulnerable, but it really is our most powerful. Why? Because you look around, and very little other people will do that for themselves. This has nothing to do with them either, although you want mutual help. You want to be the people, if you will. We want to be together, look around, and realize we all have the same internal sentiment about we want to be living in a society free of these tyrannies, and the rules are there to do that. And if the rules weren't there to do that, you could still invoke rules that were required to do that if you even understood what I'm fulfilling the power that are in people. In other words, when you see an injustice, the people can stop it. In this case, it comes right down to where the power is. Each one of you want a vote? You want a vote, folks? No, not as a political vote. No, as a vote for your lifestyle, for your life, for you. You're in it now. You're all been in this game that they've been put on you, and you're not throwing the game off. You continue to play for it. And I'm asking you all simple letters, and I'm going to offer you now an example. I'm going to tell you it's just an example because it's only speaking to one jurisdiction. We're going to come to that, though. But Israelis are starting to step up. Thank you very much for doing that for yourself. But it's not about protesting. And this is the thing I don't like about these stories. They show you weekend marches took place in the streets. No, you need to go right at the bureaucrats with paperwork. And you need to be saying the right thing, not what you think you need to say. You need to be saying they didn't fulfill their duties and obligations in order to get where they are. And so moving in now from Israel to you see the expanding ripple. We've been talking about it. I've been talking about it. I predicted, if you will, I predicted it was going this way. We would be placed, Operation Hindsight 2020, the world would be placed into a martial law tyranny, fulfilling the beginnings of 9/11. You realize that they put in 9/11 and they made businesses require contact knowing their customers right before phones got real important. You did get that, don't you? But all that wasn't a requirement. They didn't need to know who it was. That's why the little anomaly of debit cards that you can go buy, put cash on, and don't require a name, that's really an anomaly in the system. But they did all that right before, and then they bring on the system of surveillance, the battlefield of things, of internet things, right before they made sure that everybody that you're going to contact through that internet of things is going to be a customer have a customer relationship, the businesses will be pressed on. This third party interference, I told you, was going to be key. And I've brought many broadcasts explaining how you defeat that. And a lot of it is right up front. If you haven't heard me before or don't know what I'm talking about, don't want to go read the communicable disease laws, they have to find you a risk. And they have to do that officially. And if they haven't, that's a due process breach on top of it. So if you're found that they haven't done it to you, that's the due process breach if they're blaming you. If you find out that you're not a risk at all and you don't make the test, you don't offer yourself to be the test. They were supposed to show that before. You've got the second violation just by asserting that because they were never supposed to approach you. How many people have I heard talking like this? Nobody. But except me, okay, behind the woodshed. Well, and my colleague that I've been helping to move the documentation forward to try and give people, empower people. And I can tell you the feedback is they're empowered when they see the documentation. And I want to really diminish what I've done with the writing. The writing is not the end-all, be-all silver bullet. But it is a foundational ground. It has a foundation and grounding that you need in order to discharge what they're doing against you. It gets you a large portion ahead, and it's also... It works in anticipation of where they might respond. And people are starting to see that as they learn more about it. Removing this Israeli protest and this and that, what's being happening to people? And we were talking also about Australia being locked down and being the model for the Queen's countries. This little thing came up, and I'm just to give the fact that it's rolling out and it's not stopping and that there's orders there, but how to look inside the orders possibly to see at least an initiating response. If you should be getting to your communicable disease laws everywhere that the rule of law and democracy is, and even so, maybe not. Wherever they have a communicable disease law and duties and obligations on officials, you need to go read that. But in the absence of a formidable response to that, in Kanukistan, there was a video link sent to me, important message for all Canadians. It's a video that I end up having to find, I think it was on YouTube, because I wanted to see the links they were talking about. They're talking about an order coming out of the province of Saskatchewan, and that it's an they got the copy. I'll have this link in the blogcaster after I post for all y'all. If you're not over at Sound Minds to watch what he's throwing up, not that way, but putting up on the screen. I've just taken it on face value. So it's received by the clerk of executive council in the province of Saskatchewan, a minister's order regarding what has been highlighted in the document as emergency ministers' powers of in emergencies, and they are talking to the fact that what this does, it's really kind of restating some of what was already been in code that people are just now seeing. This is why I don't get I'm not surprised what I see here, but people are astonished that they have the powers in the official are to do this. What's missing, though, in the conversation is to where and what extent. And when you let them run this way, they will take advantage. The power people in power will take advantage. But what's highlighted in this document, and I want you to go ahead and read the yellow highlights, but don't get lost to focus your attention on them. There's other things in other places I find people do not highlight that are at least as important and sometimes a lot more important. The problem here is it's highlighting that this minister under emergencies, and they're not really... They relate it to COVID, but they're really talking in generalities, and I'll get to a point where it says it right there in the document that is highlighted, but I think it's looked over. But outside of the highlight, there's even more to watch very carefully, and you're listening, looking for limits. But this orders allow them to cause evacuation of persons, removal of persons or livestock or personal property from an area of Saskatchewan that is or may be affected by an emergency. Remember, that's generic, an emergency. And make arrangements for the adequate care and protection of those persons or livestock and of the personal property. I don't want to do too much of analysis. Let me just drop in a couple spots so you can start listening. Did you hear the hesitation in that? The qualification that it is and protection of those persons. If they don't have, in this case, with an emergency is a communicable disease, and not like a natural disaster, dam break, or that's a man-made disaster, but anyway, landslide, floods, whatever, all like that. When this is the man-made disaster caused by a chemical weapon attack, dual use, military involved, you're going to hear this more today, military is involved in all of this, as I said they would be, you're watching it, this power comes, that we're talking about here, comes through that as well. But listen to there, the protection of those persons or livestock. First of all, and I don't want to make a big deal about this, but what persons? Who are the persons they talk to? And I'm not saying, oh, that's the fiction. This is just a placeholder of who this would apply to. Persons may not necessarily be everyone. But I would be arguing that, not necessarily from the fiction standpoint, because it's a placeholder for whom it does apply. But we would have to look more carefully at what they are, who they are talking to, and it's not necessarily everybody. And you'll see the hesitations also, I want to point out in this document, this minister may do something. And what I've learned about these mays and musts in administrative law, I realize there's a qualifier that they have to do, and I just have to make sure not to be there. If I can. Maybe I am a communicable principal. Maybe I do need to be dealt with. But for those of us, all of us, most likely that are not, we need to look necessarily for the administrative may. The administrative must is a may. It's not a shall. And this is critical to understand this. But getting back to the protection, how are they going to reasonably and without capriciousness protect anyone if they have not done the first steps to identify the actual emergency, and they have, as I tell you in the letter and you, the thing you need to say, and I've been repeating, they have failed yet to demonstrate the non-fraudulent exigency. So when you read this order, you have the hesitation here is that they can only act to protect you. And if you know what you're reading, you can then assert that. And I don't know how you're going to do this. They're going to bring the military in. They're going to be now doing checks. Those people are supposed to be subject to the civil authority. That civil authority is subject to those duties and obligations if you start following what I've been doing. Follow the authorities and duties. And you can assert against even a military guy that they do not have jurisdiction to say what they're saying when they haven't shown a non-fraudulent exigency, and you are demanding that they go find that from the people that they are subject to in the civil authority. You start using the organization backwards. Is it a silver bullet? No, but you now have established the right of habeas corpus as well, and they put the question and burden on them immediately. And everything they do is an abduction now. It goes into violating everything that there is. And here's the point. You're living in an occupied territory where they don't care. So don't keep putting in your mind that it means something in the first instance. But can you imagine if you start doing this and you start to identify their maladministration across the board, and you're not the only one doing that, that something starts to press a lot better than what just rioting in the streets. That you can pull out of these statements, and you have this, if you're in Saskatchewan, you put this in your pocket, and you highlight what I'm telling you, not the general yellow. You highlight the one I'm telling you. And you go right down the list and say, well, you haven't identified how you can protect. That makes your orders not other than arbitrary and capricious on your face. And not being it, and then you haven't, by this paper, you haven't developed demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency pursuant to the communicable disease law. Where's the report on me? Where's the assessment that I'm a risk? See, if you have a word in your mouth now, you're talking to a stupid idiot with a gun who could kill you. Well, that could be the cops too. But anyway, you have something to say, and you're doing you're going down their black and white requirements. You're making those strict liabilities to them. And let me move down and through another one. There's the cause, the demolition or removal of any trees, structure, crops, if the demolition or removal is necessary or appropriate in order to reach the scene of the emergency, to attempt or to forestall its occurrence or to combat its progress. Well, communicable disease laws is prevention, not combat its progress. And what are we talking about? Well, that's more likely maybe a fire, possibly. We don't know, but it's the scene of the emergency. Where's the scene of the emergency relative to communicable disease law? If you read carefully, it can't be everywhere. And so you have another in. Where's the scene of the emergency? The scene is a space, is a spot, geographically limited. When you look at communicable disease law, it's geographically limited, notwithstanding it interferes with general more jurisdictions than where its outbreak began. So we see right here, I understand the people are blown up about this. Oh, we got martial law and all, and they can do this, they can steal you away, they can put you in camps. Well, they can. They'll do it. And they might do it before you get to have a say, like I'm suggesting, but you will have that say. And if you understand the communicable disease laws allows you habeas corpus, then you'll know what I've been talking about from before we started getting into this. You can orally do those. You need to say, have a little bit of an idea of what you're doing. I'd rather have you written it up, put in your bag of law, bag of defense. You have a copy of, you hand it to them. Before we move on here, I'm asserting my rights against your arbitrary, capricious, even lawless, unwarranted authority in restraining my liberty, even answering your questions. Anyway, so I go on and on about this. It's just more droning, I suppose, if you're not interested. I want you to understand you have something to assert on a case-by-case basis. So even though I do get it I'm not immune from seeing you could be going down the road one day and then see, you know, the military standing there waving people, whatever they're going to do. You then have to go into assertion of rights, presentation of failure and dereliction of duty to protect yourself mode. You almost have to anticipate, put this in your mind that this could happen, and then you're just ready. You're just now you're doing the emergency response for yourself. Conscript persons needed to meet an emergency. What? You haven't demonstrated a non-fraudulent exigency to support an emergency. So what is this person that they're talking about? Well, we read down a little bit farther. I think it says somewhere they define a class of persons. It says all persons required to comply. See, it doesn't say whom. Then all persons defined, and this is D. We get down through D. Look carefully. We haven't known what a person is. And typically they're a class. They're a class of status. They're a status, actually. And here we have the inclination of what it might be. And I'm not saying this is the end. You're not going to run with this, because you take this, you have to go research relative to communicable disease law what these persons they've been talking about in this order are, or that they're going to call the guard out to whatever and stop people. All persons, and it says here, all persons defined as employers and employees in the letter of understanding entered in between the Saskatchewan Health Authority and on now. I looked at that as, well, that's defining what the person they're talking to is, which now limits this whole word person, a placeholder, as to what the status would be that it would be subjecting, or bring those persons subject to, it says it's defined right in the text, black and white, as employers and employees. My question to someone looking at me that may believe that they have some control measure over me is, where do you have evidence I'm an employer or employee as defined in this order? I'm pausing, folks. I hope things light bulbs go off at some point. Even if I'm wrong, do you understand the dynamic you've set up in the interaction at the time? And this could happen not just because I'm facing some guard military guy. It could be anywhere, any so-called authority. It could be also a business that you've walked in. Not to make argument with the people you live with, but to start presenting more of the code, the black and white, that I'm telling you most people have no clue on. You are so head and shoulders above the rest of your folks in your towns by doing this. It's amazing. It's actually, they'll think you're a threat. The point is that you have a basis and they don't. It says all persons defined as employers and employees. So if that's the point, and that I get to say that, and there, what do I know about a letter of understanding if I'm not in there anyway? What's the guard, a military or police officer or anybody stopping me in my travels and restraining my liberty? Without warrant now, folks. What's the statement? You may have misread that order. The order was defined all persons as employers and employees of the letter under the letter of understanding, which is not me. What's your evidence of that? Okay, so I'm just trying to show you we can get all sensational, and I do agree you need to be hyper-sensitive to this because they're running this scam on everyone. But if you have an insight of what it's really doing and how it's supposed to work, you have that to put against what their authority, they claim their authority is. And this is where I get you back into, if you know your communicable disease law, you're back into those 4, 5, or 15 steps that have never been done. And you'll find them, as a colleague was reading through, I finally got him to start focusing a bit more on this for himself relative to these letters, or these affidavits. They're not letters, they're affidavits, they're evidence. And this is the other important thing. The evidence points back to the dereliction of duty, and now he's looking to see, and he noticed where it is a shall. It's not a may or must. When it comes to determining the infectious principle that they are to prevent the spread of, they have a case-by-case matter, man or woman, they have to track in down and get correct. And that man or woman has rights under habeas to say, you haven't done that even correct, if that's the case. That's why I said, do not testify against yourself by allowing tests. And this is the other thing that's coming up, that the letter will not handle as a religious exemption, the affidavit. I keep calling it a letter. It's an affidavit of religious exemption or conscientious objection. And the cover affidavit that now has to come with it to warn off the employers because they wanted to take off state power, we eliminate that. At least as an assumption we agree to, we challenge that they can't and they haven't yet, which they can't, but they're asserting it. You come in and you're stating this, but it won't stop everything. And so when they come in with testing as a mitigation of your religious or your conscientious objection to the jab, or maybe just your right to have yourself bodily integrity. Yeah, that's another one you have a right to remember. In fact, right before the broadcast, we played an old broadcast, I think it was BTWRLM 400, I think, and I mentioned that. There was a court, again, all this authority that says you have bodily integrity rights that they can't violate. They're violating them already, interfering with you, stopping, restraining your liberty to go where you wanted to go without all this other prerequisite predicate actions that they're supposed to do. They are in complete violation of law. They're completely unwarranted. They're in breach beyond. I can't even imagine how really bad. If our societies knew what this meant, that kind of a breach meant, it really would be what we were told, the blood that would be shed every 20 years. I don't even want to go there, but I mean, my mind really gets sad to think about. These people that get into office do this. This is why we were told this happens. And that we haven't done it for hundreds, 100 years, 150 years, that it hasn't happened is why we are seeing the global influence into a nation that should have never seen this. There's just no support for it, let alone even a crown colony, which was supposed to be protected from it as well. I'm saying and telling you, the black and white for communicable disease was that savior, legal savior in the rules that imposes upon those that are in office these duties. Anyway, so that's a lot. A lot of importance here. I do not want to downplay the importance of the fact you may be looking at a military guy or some official authority running you off the road and then deciding they're going to put you somewhere. I don't want to feed into that, but I also don't want you to disregard it. This is what's setting up to come against us. We see that in Australia. I'm offering you to see right inside the documents. They have things that they can do. There's hesitations. They speak. Those mays and musts speak to a prior obligation that you need to go be well enough versed to find. And then you just keep that little bit compiled. You need to know all of it and how it all works. But for a discussion in front of somebody, like an employer, like a business that we just want to buy some of this stuff, or the military guy with the gun or whatever, they won't show you too. I don't think they're going to show you guns quite like that up front. They want to do it like they're your friends. You would have the same short sentences to present them in challenge to what they're doing. Now, it doesn't mean you get to drive necessarily, walk away, or whatever word I use, that you're going to find offense. It doesn't mean that you're going to be able to just pass through that, but you now are put on a different path, and you may have to wait a little while till they come to terms with that. And then you can't give up. You have to continue to press the very same points once they failed. That's probably and likely where you want to stay. You don't want to expand it. You don't want to start waxing eloquent about whatever it is. You're looking at what they failed on, not what you think you are. You remove yourself from the, I know it's going to be tough, but you remove yourself. And anything they do to cause discomfort, everything becomes a retaliation for you doing what you did, as I talked to you last week. Now, we're not talking employers now. We're just talking the people. And so here you go. So here we have a very important, it says emergency order discussion, broadcast to all people. This has become a big thing coming up out of Kanukistan. In a way, it's not too surprising to me. I don't know why people keep yelling and broadcasting an emergency. We've been in this emergency to the people, not the COVID. That's just the fraud. The people have been under the emergency since 9/11. So I don't know why everyone's starting to see it, but what are you going to do about it? I do have a link going back through that went through the video I started. I wanted to see where the source of this was. And information on a link I have, Our Greater Destiny. And onto this one page, they go through a discussion And they do go through a legitimate discussion on even the law of occupation, the province of Saskatchewan minister's orders. They correlate over to New York governor, fires 70,000 healthcare workers, go right on through. There's lots of links to this. Again, this is just for information. Don't take it as gospel until, or for you on your case-by-case basis, but get the understanding there are people that are out there, that are observant, that are trying to move forward. Make your connections where you can. And it's difficult, but you still would necessarily, I think, need to find those amongst you. I've had some requests, maybe I'll put it out here now, a request relating to Quebec and Montreal in particular. If you're listening to me, maybe send me an email, and I have someone that would like to meet up with somebody out of there. And I don't know how much I can handle, but anybody that may be in a place available to meet up with somebody else, hopefully people I've talked with before, so I know you a bit better, that I can meet up people that I know. I know some of you are living in similar towns or very close, but I don't let you know that because I'm not into just letting everybody know who I'm talking to. So there is a request about Montreal in particular, and it is getting pretty intense there. So hopefully anybody that's consistent or believes in what I'm talking, and maybe more importantly, really been doing the research to find it out, we want to have quality of people working together. And I just tell you, it's important to be able to work together. So that has been a request, and I would just extend that to if you're in anywhere that you are looking for somebody, maybe, I don't know how I'm going to handle how that would work, but if I happen to find somebody in places, then maybe I can, if you're willing, I can direct you to them. Somehow, again, we have to figure out a neutral place to go that we can just show up and say, okay, I'm available. Just here's what we want to do. So going on, and so Saskatchewan has got their thing. It's going to go like conflagration across the Kanukistan. I'm sure that they're all bringing this on. Quebec is just one of the main oppressors, and they would be because of their more internationalizations of things. But go back to the United States, and I wanted to point out a limitation again. See, you have to understand the limitations. And they tell you, if you look and you read, and I guess that's what I see, so maybe it's not so obvious to some people that this is what you're being told, but I do this over and over again. Got quite a few links to look for. I pulled some stuff together that kind of integrated with what I wanted to say. There's just gobs of information to find. If you just type in search engine stuff, all this stuff comes up. U.S. quarantine stations. U.S. quarantine stations. And I looked at that jurisdictionally, folks. U.S. quarantine stations. Most people would say those are quarantine stations across the U.S., like the United States. I go, no, this is the district and the federal district's jurisdiction quarantine stations. And when you look very carefully, you'll find that's exactly it. And when you look at the maps, they'll relate it to something I've talked to you about before, and relative to ports, which are places of commerce entry, ports of entry. That's commerce. That's federal. All right, so you'll find the proof, if you had a question. U.S. quarantine stations are part of a comprehensive system that serves to limit the introduction and spread of contagious diseases in the United States. And most people would read that and think that's across the country. And when you look at the map, you say, but it isn't. These dots are across the country. Well, there's only 20 of them. They're located at 20 ports of entry and land border crossings where most international travelers arrive. So right off in the first paragraph, I read this totally different. I'm only going to see District of Columbia-style U.S. governmental ports of entry that are these have quarantine stations. Not across the U.S. like we might think, the people, like they're caring for us. And it goes on to say they are staffed with medical and public health officials from the Center of Disease Control and Prevention. That's federal. And managed by CDC's Division of Global Migration and Quarantine. These health officers decide whether ill persons can enter the United States and what measures should be taken to prevent the spread of contagious disease. Well, here I just read another word, person. What's the status that makes that person subject? When you read, you're going to find out people that are immigrating, in and out. Not people of the United States, not those nationals. But nobody understands this and challenges it, right? So we've been subsumed. We're moved into being, and relative to the United States District, we're emigres ourselves now. And you can read it right in this quarantine. I found this fascinating as I read through it. But again, a proof, if you wanted to find out what the federal authority is, you're finding out that it is in very limited places, and it includes not just those ceded dockyards and all that stuff, forts and all things in the Constitution, it's also these ports of entry. I told you every international airport is considered a port of entry, and the jurisdiction of the United States spreads out administratively from there. I've talked about all about this, but you're only seeing that there's 20, and they're not across the United States as far as relative to the states themselves. They are strictly a federal jurisdiction for one purpose. And the question I want to go back to when I opened up the statement of this, they are for international travelers, but is it actually a person, is it you, the American? And I don't think that's so clearly understood by people that it's not. When you read more of the story, it specifically says it's not. It doesn't include those people. It includes everybody that's outside trying to get in. As part of what? The federal protection of the United States of America. And again, advisedly, I know, I say United States of America, and that's in the peace treaty. That's the invention of the crown before. And so this whole thing I'm saying there, for those of you that are red, may have a little bit of contention with what I just said. But let's look past that for the moment. I'm just trying to get the bulk of people that understand the bulk of the knowledge, general knowledge, to understand what we're talking about here. In other words, folks, when the United States of America was an entity that was created, that was put in the peace treaty, that is part, it is the United States that we're talking about in the district. The United States is a term, was all the several states. And this is the other inversion. Don't get confused by that. Just for this, understand, for today, the United States means a special place. It's not everywhere across the United States of America, as we understand the states as several states. And they tell you on this story from the CDC, on this report, right, from the CDC, are those quarantine stations relevant and pertinent to the local jurisdictions of the county? No. Unless there's an agreement for such, but it doesn't work from the county out. It works from the port in, where they track someone coming into international port, and they find themselves in a county, and then there's a problem. You can read all that in there. It's pretty neat. You can read how this thing works, and when you start orienting your mind of what all the playing parts, how they work and the directions, you start to understand, I hope, more what I've been telling you about. When you find your locale, your jurisdiction, it's confined to that. Everything has to happen there. The outbreak starts there, and then it moves to the larger epidemic, and you have to see evidence of all that. And unless they can show evidence, these people are operating outside of any jurisdiction for any emergency at that point. So quarantine stations are relevant to certain things. It's immigration. The federal ones. See, when you get in the states, they don't necessarily have to have quarantine stations, because what is it normally? In the normal sense of it, it's you just staying home. And then, if you're not going to be, just stay home and just let it run its course, then they can make special place for you. That's why they don't need so much. But since they've caused flu-like symptoms now to be the end-all be-all of a declaration, and because of a bribe the federal government does to all these medical professionals, apparently it's ethical to do this, if you will, if you get this point, well, they get to just go ahead and call everything COVID. Doesn't mean it's the infectious agent. No, it's just a set of flu-like symptoms, which we find out is really the flu. I mean, it's just your body responding to the flu. But anyway, but for our point, quarantine stations are federal. They're at ports. They're not everywhere. There's agreements between your local state health care officials. When you see how that works, it's not really for you either. And so this is a promotion that they put to the people of the United States, like they're there to protect you. They're not there at all for you. Your public local health official is there, should be there for you, and when they're not, you have due process in the form of a habeas corpus to challenge even when they go rogue there. Is anybody doing this stuff? I don't think so. Affinity Power launches Operation Expanded Testing in agreement with U.S. government to increase COVID testing, 19 testing. Well, if you realize what I just said about the port quarantine centers and their testing coming in, when you read what they do there, for the people coming in that are foreigners, or leaving, I suppose, if they're foreigners, probably just kick you out of here, but Operation Expanded Testing. What did I tell you was going to have to happen after they got the jabs going? They needed to monitor it. They're going to have more testing. Here's the operation that was presented to me as a link to look. There was so many more so much more information to go. I don't have the time to even post them all for the Operation Expanded Testing, OET or ET. I found that interesting. Affinity Empowering Incorporated, a leading provider of the most sophisticated and secure occupational behavioral. Can I repeat that? Behavioral and direct to consumer health services. Today announced a launch of Operation Expanded Testing. Launch of Operation Expanded Testing. OET. The truncated to ET. And we're back to what? You as an immigrant, an extraterrestrial, I suppose. Operation Expanded Testing. That perfects what I told you was going to have to happen. They need the smart. They need to monitor this thing. They need to monitor the weapon they've deployed. And so now they're in a process. They've been already planned and working to implement a more comprehensive testing system. Where is it supposed to actually be? It should only be at those ports and those quarantine centers or in the points of entry. What they got everybody and you to believe is that they can do this across the country. And they got you to believe that and continue to believe it because you're not asserting that they don't have the right to do it against you. Some of you have written your letters and you're seeing that affront. But when it comes down to having more what I said about being able to have more involved, you're going to have to understand what these orders are saying, how to piece them apart, and then assert. And hopefully you get this letter. You'll understand how to conform it. I keep calling it a letter. It's the affidavits. Conform them for your state or your country, whatever your province, whatever the place is. You hide, copy and paste and interject your exemption right into here. And I'm saying these affidavits are expansive. In the sense that they, even if you don't agree with the religious exemption, you don't believe or you don't understand how to state a conscientious objection, you don't have a doctor or can't get a medical exemption or any other exemption or exemption that the government offers and has to recognize, they still work when you understand what the first clause, if demonstrating a non-fraudulent exigency, comma. When you understand what that is, then anybody can use this affidavit, because if they can't get past that first clause, it doesn't matter what that document says that you're trying to put in there relative to their duty to make that demonstration. And until they make that demonstration, they can't even figure out about whether or not you needed to file that, the rest of what you're going to file. If you understand what I'm saying, and I hope you start to understand what I'm saying about this. You're not even saying they can't. If demonstrating a non-fraudulent exigency, comma, says they haven't, and you're demanding it. You're waiting. You're watching. And when they try to put more, you haven't answered the first clause. This is not a fight, I've told you. This is a demonstration. They either put up or they shut up. If they don't put up and they don't shut up and they come after you, now you're making that record of abduction. This is prime now, not just, they come underneath this prevention authority because they haven't demonstrated it. And you focus in on that. You're just like a laser. It doesn't matter what happens that you have to do beyond that. They haven't done what they are required first to do. In other words, they have to have probable cause if we want to go to the simple criminal side. That's all we're talking about. All the big words here, demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency, is saying, where's your probable cause? Your lawful probable cause, not the one you made up. But expanded testing is on the proof here. They have a third-party company doing that. The Operation Expanded Testing was created in agreement with the United States Department of Health and Human Services in coordination with the United States Department of Defense. Do I have to really proving what I told you back in December 31st, 1999, and what we were facing? Then they go to the PCR, the SARS-CoV-2 detect positive cases. This is all meaningless. But the point is when you have it, and you understand what they're doing, they are monitoring the weapon that they've deployed in the United States. And sorry to hear some of you are feared enough or didn't understand to take it. I'm absolutely not here to trounce, beat you down, because you did. This is now a consideration. And I don't think it's one of worry. I think it's one of understanding. And you, because of what we're seeing, even in the chemical weapon, it can be chemically, what is it, neutralized. I really believe it can be chemically neutralized. As I'm reading and reading more. And interestingly, natural things will do that. We'll get to that as we move. But this military thing, Affinity, Operation, Operation Expanded Testing, the name itself screamed military. Well, why is the military involved in this at all, as I've told you? You get a point, understand what they're doing. This is a dual-use, gain-of-function thing. They justified the implementation of that they could not do otherwise but for the dual-use under Title 50 on the War Department. Go look at the United States law. If you go read it, I'll redirect you again. Clint Richardson's work to show you that in Lethal Injection. He reads this out to you. If you need to have someone read you bedtime stories, I don't know where it is, 20 minutes in, and then maybe 40 minutes in, or an hour to 40 minutes in, I don't remember. He reads this to you. And when I showed him that, it happened to be, I told you, sprung off the idea of what your civil rights are, 42 USC 1981. And I said, no, you got to look at this thing totally different. Go back to Title 50, and you're going to see what they're doing. And he was stunned at what they did, so much so he was able to include that there. I'm glad for Clint Richardson what he does. Putting it in video, people need to hear it, whether or not they may understand what's going on. That video, what he says there in Title 50, is working today. Now, I don't know if, I've not talked with Clint for a long, long time. I don't even know if he recognizes this or any of this stuff. He may see it, and I may see it. I don't know if anybody else actually sees it. And here it is, Operation Extended Testing, the United States Department of Military in coordination. Why? Why is this that connection the whole time? Why are we going to the UK? New story here, new tab. UK military wants to spy on social media to detect change in population sentiment. Sentiment, not sediment. Why is this so important that the information be used through the military? Why are they worried about sentiment? Sentiment about what? Well, as I keep telling you, under international law, they got to keep track of the natives. They want to make sure they haven't pissed the natives off. And right now, they haven't been pissed off enough. Protesting in the streets is not what I'm talking about. UK military wants to spy on social. No, he wants to. They are. This is not news. I'm just pointing out the quote, change in population sentiment is international law for an occupier monitoring a population. If you don't, I hope you appreciate that I look at this stuff a little bit different, and those of you that read it in international law should be reading it and understand what I'm saying. And the importance of why it is the military is involved and going to be involved, and what it is then that's being deployed against us. Are you ever going to come up and maybe, well, you could, but I'm just saying, my question is in the negative. You're not going to just state this is a military operation. You don't speak to power like that because they're powerful. You just disappear. You start talking like that, you just disappear one day. You don't speak to power like that. And this is why I keep telling you there's a certain way to speak to this power. It can hurt you. It can just disappear you. And that might be okay for some of you. I don't know. It's not okay for me. When I'm looking, I don't feel like I'm some ninja warrior that I can outdo an army all by myself. So I've got to figure out a different way to do this. And I hope you consider that as well. That's why I've been telling you it's not going to necessarily, I don't see it coming. Maybe it should. Maybe this whole thing should go down the tubes in a blaze of glory and then we see what comes out. That'd be the kind of the stupid thing in my mind, but that's what could happen. We have that in our right to do so. But it's not going to be about you bringing your gun against their gun. And I've told you this for a long time. It was coming going to not be like that. Your Second Amendment, all this stuff is irrelevant to this. What's going to happen. And this is a global affront to people. So, automated scanning of social media platforms. This isn't even new news. I just wanted to point out the focus and the, quote, change in population sentiment is acknowledgement, whether the author knows this or not, of international law, and every military occupier needs to keep track of what its victims, its occupied, are doing and thinking. Next thing, military leaders saw pandemic as unique opportunity to test propaganda techniques on Canadian forces, a Canadian forces report says. Now, I did not get to a report that is in this study, that happened relative to what happened in Kanukistan and the military falsely reporting wolf studies. I never got to that story. That story is in here. Where did the military leaders in Kanukistan believe they could take a pandemic and make a unique opportunity out of it to violate their people and lie to their people? Tells me that this is not an opportunity. This was the plan. The wolf story was actually to keep you off balance relative to the pandemic. They claim this thing started in April and wasn't implemented and shut down until May. No, if you look carefully, they had the plan implemented. They had to have the plan to implement in April. And I won't read more. Why is the military involved in this at all? Why is the military not protecting you and working against you? Is that by definition, you're all occupied people. And so when someone says to me they don't have any rights, I say, well, what was your expectation in an occupied country? And we have a different problem to think about. And where, I think about that. Frontline, right, the Forest Service on our claim, now finally, we finally got one camera that they didn't beat out of a tree, so we got the evidence. Finally beat the heck out of the camera, but we got the chip. But them cutting down our gate again. We finally got that. Now it's not a question. And I'm looking at these pictures saying, who are these people to do this? There's no law of any regard that allows this to happen. And they actually believe they have the right because they got this costume on to do so. And this is our problem. I don't know where the sentiment came in officials that they can disregard or look beyond or whatever the heck it is they do. They don't have a duty. One, their oath really doesn't mean anything. But when the people saw that they had no duty and they weren't going to follow one, we really needed to step up. And my whole work that I would, just to let you know, I don't think that it's no silver bullet. I don't think my criminal complaint's really going to go everywhere. What I'm speaking to as well, the job of that complaint, which is now blown up way bigger than I ever thought I was going to do, but we'll see. It's gotten really big, and I don't know if people are going to keep up with it, but I am still trying to speak to the court of public opinion through the complaint and hope somebody listens and a group of people will step up and say, that's enough. Maybe with influence on the people I'm speaking to. Because if we had law working in the first instance and good government, I wouldn't be looking at pictures of people in costumes cutting down a gate that has a lawful authority to be where it's at, to protect us and the public. And maybe people don't understand some of this. It was a little bit of a shock to me. A friend tracked down a statute that says if we have, dangers, risks to the public, and we don't fence them off and this and that, we're criminally liable. Now, I realized it was a liability, you know, risk, that type of stuff on property, but not to a criminal level. And so that just fortified why we have a gate across the road on private property, and there's another statute that says we have the right to do that. Who are these officials in costumes underneath the so-called federal district authority on a place that they have no jurisdiction of, having no jurisdiction themselves, having any idea they can come and destroy our property? The picture is a definition of the reason we're failing as a society. That's us, folks. That's on us. And the military is spitting back there. They operate like they're the military. They operate like it's an occupied territory. And I'm telling you, take that for fact. I don't have to agree. I don't have to live my life by it. I just use that occupying knowledge, the knowledge that they think that they can do this, but it's an actual occupying force, and how to address that. And if you're, one, in an occupied territory looking at an armed offender who wants to believe that they're under authority just because they got the power, you have to treat that with a little bit more delicately. And I'm asking y'all to consider that and how you fortify yourself to do so. And I just have to say and assert here, 10 years ago, we had the same problem. I did an administrative notice. It was 21 pages. They have no jurisdiction. It proved it. They went to default. We defaulted it out. And since then, up until here this year, we had been living in relative peace. And so the new regime came in, the old guy that started it back then, Vilsack, came, and all of a sudden we're having trouble again. And so I have to now repeat the problem and show that it's a repeat offense and that it has a modus, it has a reason for being. then it's not in the law. And I'm just saying all this off my tabs, off to the point, to say this problem, this oppression, this occupation that comes in the form of costumes that purport to be government, or representing government, has to be outed in particular and obvious ways. And the only way I know to do that right now is the objective basis of the black and white that shows there is no objective basis for them to act. There is no jurisdiction for them to act. And what we're seeing in this COVID is the military connection over and over. And I cannot understand under international law, which the Supreme Court in Kansas versus Colorado said is always regarded by this court, that the international law says, in Lieber Code says, which is now international law after it was penned, that you knows them when you sees them. You don't have to be told. These people don't have to tell you. You know them by their deeds. Number one article. I want you to start seeing, I'm pointing to their deeds. I don't need a more proof, actually. Why people don't embrace this and mutually come together underneath that cause. I don't care what your persuasion is. I don't care what your identity is. I don't care what your political analysis and affiliations are. We are all an occupied people to everyone you see in the news having a power and influence that's coming against you by whatever, whether these are the companies, whether these are the state officials, or the federal officials, or the military. You notice I put them outside of the United States as an executive branch. They're not part of it. They're implementing it. They're helping it. They're part of it in the sense of its planning. They needed to keep a tab on the information. Why is the UK doing it? Why is Kanukistan doing it? Why is the United States doing it? And then we get the resistance. And I appreciated this letter, although I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't agree right now with anything that identifies COVID as something more than the flu, the symptoms, excuse me, or agrees that SARS-CoV-2 is anything that's biological. And yet, this article to here, it's I guess, gone viral. I find it fascinating what goes viral and what doesn't. Everyone loves to go viral on a sentiment instead of an action. Anyway, damn you to hell. You will not destroy America, says the article from Zero Hedge. Here is the Spartacus COVID letter that's gone viral. And I want you to get this and I want you to read it because he goes through and they explain. The author, Tyler Durden, says, I don't understand everything that's in here because it's a lot of medical stuff, but there's information here that someone knows what's going on. Well, I agree that there's some information and medical things that are being known, but they do not ever explain that this is not a biological event. They kind of play this off like it's biological. I would like you to go look through and look at what they're talking about here because it brings up something very important. And this is to the people that have the vaccine. And I know I'm knowing more and more people that have it, and I'm telling you just to let you know, at least half are having trouble. And I don't know what more to say. I'm asking people that know those people to monitor and to ask them to get on maybe better diets. And this is where it starts to go. No guarantee, no proof. But once you get the injection, it looks like a chemical weapon that this story, damn you to hell and you will not destroy America, you have to make sure it doesn't destroy you first. Great sentiment. I hope they all step up and they get behind the woodshed and you will not destroy America means we're coming at the occupier well and in the right way. What they do expose, though, is that this thing has, it looks to me more like the chemical weapon that can be neutralized. And this is back to the fact that it is chemistry. And they bring up an interesting comment. I want people that are getting the jab to understand it's not over for you. In fact, the faster you jump on something to deal with it chemically, you might be able to remove it from your system. I'm hoping that the thing they're telling us about the spike moving on and moving on, it diminishes over time by the immune system. But because you give the system, you give that novel chemistry, that novel protein, a thing to eat on, to bite on, that it's looking for, that has a greater affinity than your body, that you keep putting in your body the things and making it more concentrated than your blood cells or your cells at all, this thing going in trying to replicate will be replicating into something that will neutralize it. And so those of you that I wanted to offer a little bit of help here, I'm not down on this. If you had to take a jab, well, you take it. I'm hoping well for you. I hope that you didn't have something that this thing preys on inside your body. I hope your immune system protects you. I hope you're, again, God-given that you are blessed to be able to defeat it. If you want to help fortify you, it appears in this letter, they speak very highly of antioxidants. And I did some study on this, and we want what you're looking for, elite, and I'm talking just a natural setup, just get your nutrition up, go into the vitamin D's, get in the sun, all that stuff, zinc, all that, get into it. But it's looking like by this discussion, someone explaining the background of what's going on, they identify these things called anthocyanins. And anthocyanins are polyphenolic compounds. There's more in the plant world, and they're typically in purple and black and dark berries. And one of the berries that I was fascinated to see, it's like we have these things around us, not necessarily out west, but everybody, I think the Midwest, back east, you have something that is the highest in these compounds called the black choke berry, or what's promoted as aronia. And I understand that the plants are relatively easy to grow. This may be a matter of something out there that you can go, and I'm not sure how much you'd have to eat, and I would think maybe you should concentrate them. We're probably in the time when they've just hit the trees, it's fall, or the bushes, you might find them around. You might want to process these. A couple studies I found, the anthocyanins in this berry, which is the highest level of all everything you know on the internet, but there's also things like, what, like ASEA and whatever, all these other blackberries, blueberries are another one. All these purple or blackberries, high in these anthocyanins. If you looked in the report, in that study, you know, the viral, you know, we're going to not take this anymore. What you need to do for yourself is you need to fortify your body in these anthocyanins, at least as our best knowledge. And the chokecherry that we have apparently native in the United States, and the native people in the United States know this, this is the highest and available to you, that you may want to start to eat these. I understand they're bitter or whatever. Process them for what you can, and eat them and take a concentrated amount. I would say go after the pomace. The skins are esteemed. When I made wine, the skins are loaded with these things as well, that they're like more you can extract. Take the time it takes to make anthocyanins important in your diet. Why? Because what they do is they seek out this protein, things like this protein, and they oxidize it. They're antioxidant. They cause to neutralize the effect of these things. And when you have, and it's found, one study I found, I think it was the aronia berry, so-called, it's the aronia malnocarpa, black chokecherry, the chokeberry. They found that it enters the blood, the phenolics enter the bloodstream within 2 hours to start causing a concentration in your blood, and then the idea is that it's an attraction that neutralizes the ability for the process to happen. If you're someone who had the jab, you should be getting on these diets and just flooding as best you can for as long as you can your body with these things that you can go find studies. I don't have the time to cover them all. I just read lots of them that look beyond hyperbole, beyond story, that these things are in our available to us naturally, that really go right after the blood system, that concentrate themselves in the blood system pretty quickly, that actually cause an obstruction to the process that's going on, that over time, I think, it's like making, in a way, you make rust, not iron, but in this case, but you're oxidizing, you're binding up a molecule that would go out to seek a cell, or a blood cell that it's attracted to, this material, it binds up quicker and more solidly. And then when it becomes bound, the body can remove it. And so you just have to keep that process up long enough that this, whatever they've got in you, if this is something, you know, I'm only going on the worst case here now, that you can do for yourself. So if you've got the jab, don't look for the symptoms. Don't fret on them. You're looking at the symptoms, because the symptoms may tell you what you need to eat, how much you need to eat, or you need to eat more to shut it down, and you'll be able to use those symptoms relative to what you need to take in, possibly. It now becomes an indicator. And so, we have just another story about, I knew a family, distant family member, father, went to the hospital with comorbidities. In the hospital, there's a 23-year-old with, supposedly with COVID. He's got COVID. The 23-year-old went on a ventilator and died. He went on and decided to, he was resisting all care, the older guy, really much older. He was resisting all care and barely hanging in there. Well, he finally realized that maybe I should just take oxygen, not as ventilated, but as in nose. Well, he started to improve, and he lasted about a week longer than the kid that they put on a ventilator, both with COVID. And the gentleman ends up dying about a week later, claimed to be COVID. And he was an older, way older gentleman who had comorbidities instead, did not survive. And they would not, the hospital would not do anything than the protocols we've heard. And so this is, again, advocating for those people that have to go in the hospital, advocating for things. After reading this thing about anthocyanins, vitamin C is another type of those antibiotics, not quite as powerful, but see, they can actually give an IV of vitamin C. We've heard this a long time ago in the hospital, if you can get them to do it. And so if vitamin C, if antioxidants are what neutralizes this thing, it occurs to me to say people that have the jab might be able to counter, even if you're not having any symptoms, just start living, putting your body in a more healthy state. Offer the body more things to be able to help you. And I really hope you know, I'm hoping that you don't see anything to this. It's not about a taint. The other side of that, keep yourself healthy. And I'm thinking, or I'm looking at this for, I don't know, I don't think I've ever seen this stuff. I've got it. I've gotten it, and it didn't affect me, so I'm actually healthier, right? They're saying we're healthier if we don't get the jab than we've had it. But I'm trying to figure out, well, how much healthier are you that you didn't get it, given it's pervasive and everywhere? And so this is the susceptibility thing relative to transmissibility. They can't prove any of that. That underpins the assessment part when I'm getting you back to the what I was talking about earlier, against a formidable looking scary monster in a military uniform, the dumb clout. Doesn't even know what he's there for, actually. Saving the country. And you just start showing him that the oath he took has not been fulfilled. Here, 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 and here, and here. And maybe he needs to go back to his civil supervisor, since the military is supposed to be subordinate, and make sure that his marching orders were lawful. So, black chokeberry over there in the East United States. I understand that they went to UK. I think it was possibly the UK that's done advances on these plants, and they're sending them back. So even in the UK, you may be able to get these plants and have your own fresh and do whatever you need to do to up your blood chemistry to counter what you can find the chemical weapon that they're injecting is doing to you. Those of us that may be susceptible to transmitted Delta variant, so-called, it'll come into our mucous membranes. Our body will be able to see it much better and defend it much better than when it's entered into the bloodstream through the injection. And so we are, again, I think, removed as long as we have protocols that we do and bring up our nutrition, essentially, the active nutrition. We hear the antioxidants. These are very interesting things. The more and more I read about them, really a blessing to even have them available, that what they do in the body is really amazing. Maybe even beyond, it's beyond me to even understand all the processes, but the fact is there's processes that go on where you don't even think about it that are sitting there protecting us the entire time if those things are in your body. There. I'm going to advocate you research black chokeberry, get you some, and start to figure out a way to concentrate it. Find the studies that show that the stuff goes right into the bloodstream to be there, to do whatever it needs to do. And even if it's not there, it's ready, right? That's the whole point. Don't sit back thinking that you're done. Don't worry. Don't fear. Move. Just solve it. Just solve that problem as best as you can understand it. As I look real quickly, I see Montreal. Thank you in the chat, RLM chat. I have, and I'm going to do this on air. I did it earlier. I have somebody in Quebec And if you can send me an email, I would like to send you their email to get together to work on the things that we're talking about behind the woodshed and defending ourselves. I would like to have that. I don't want to do this over the air. I don't like to tell people what's up as far as who's involved. If you're there, Montreal, I appreciate that. Can't get to the chat room while I'm on the broadcast so easily. So a little bit of time here. So anyway, here we have. Thank you. Anthocyanins, folks. Anthocyanins. These are antioxidants. Remember I told you this thing is like a chelator. This thing binds that up. It brings you, these anthocyanins come in and they offer a target for this thing they've given you. My idea is if you do it long enough, that process, those chemicals go away after a while. They might be able to refabricate in the cell, but when they're interfered with, when they come out, the first time they come out, their affinity is to a more concentrated oxygenate binder. They get drawn to it. It sounds like it could be the better idea. So again, no fear, no judgment on the job, please. I just feel I've just got a lot of concern for people. I'm just always watching now. I've got to be careful not to get too overwhelmed by how many people just keep an eye. I'm just listening for certain things. They're there. We send information. Why don't you try this and this and this? Try these things. Get rid of those symptoms. Target those symptoms. And they go after body parts. You know, your body, your organs and stuff. That's a particular uniqueness to you that you have to be careful of. And you can target those as well, all naturally. I'm not saying maybe either that the black chokeberry is the only answer. This is one of the tools that you may have as in your defense system. NSBA says they need protection from parents mad over vaccine mandates. And so we're seeing in the context of the military being involved and that you are a terrorist, and I told you the extension of the PATRIOT Act telling us that everybody is a domestic enemy and how that would work out. We're now seeing probably some of the first, it's not the first, declaration of anybody they can identify to be that domestic terrorist to bring up the specter of national security in order to impose, again, that federal oversight. An institution representing more than 90,000 school officials across the U.S. begged Joe Biden Wednesday, we stooped to begging, to send FBI and Secret Service agents to protect them from mobs of angry parents irate over vaccine and mask mandates forced upon their children, asserting their protests should be treated as domestic terrorism by extremist hate organizations. Now, I predicted this would be where they would go. I would say, I said the people were going to allow it by their actions, and I would say that there's something here, in a way, they're telling the truth, that the parents are angry and irate over a vaccine mandate forced upon their children. Well, that was the wrong statement. They're not being forced at all, actually. And this is our wrong think and our wrong action. The mothers and fathers, what about the parents? Remember, that's the children are wards of the state, the custody of which is put in the care of the parent, the custodian of the ward of the state. You'll never see them talking about them, your son or your daughter, that you're the mother or the father. And I don't think that's a semantic insignificance. Anyway, I talked about it last week as well. But your domestic terrorism, extremist hate organizations, and I've told you this was going to come down when people naturally respond, but respond in improper ways. First of all, you're not forced as a mother or father. Just remove your son or daughter. It's that simple there. And a couple of you listening, you writing me, we're doing through that school side, you're worried about your sons or daughter, you're seeing the law is there to write against. It's there. It's nothing that's mandatory. And I thank you for stepping up for yourselves. As I've said before, the limitations in government, you just got to see the black and white and know it's there, not guess. Not feel irate. Just when you see that the government failed, just remove yourself as best you can from it. In this case, it's real simple. Yes, it puts them under the demand, but what were you doing to your sons and daughter when they were in a system that would allow this upon you and then blame you for caring? And they go parents and children, and now you are in their jurisdiction and having to be taken care of for the benefit of the child. You don't have a place here. You don't have standing. I said last week, your parents don't have rights. They have obligations and duties dictated to them by the state. Your consent was putting your sons and daughters in that system. That said, it is coming to fruition that you, my fellow, citizens? Are we? Anyway, my fellow man or woman, you are being mischaracterized and you're allowing yourself to be mischaracterized, and these people are willing to do it and feel threatened, and they get to ask for a power that can come in, whether it's the FBI or not, or whether it's the Secret Service, which I'm not so sure, but any other authority can come in, and you're allowing it. Don't respond in anger, and don't respond the way you have been. You don't keep, you again, what did I say? You put on them the first paragraph, first clause in the affidavit we're going to get to, I hope, relative to how you respond. I go keep moving on that. Police struggle with recruiting new officers in empty academies during this time. Not only do they not have meetings because of COVID, and you see this collateral problems, they are reducing the amount of police that are coming to academies to train them. As people don't like and aren't liking what they hear that coming out of the actions of the police themselves as well on top of it, which to my mind, I'm thinking is a good thing. The less cops right now, and maybe forever, are the best. I really do think that. And there's another thing, just pull them out. If people don't show up, if there's no soldiers to fight the war, maybe there's not going to be much of a war. People are withholding, the police department is tarnished. COVID is helping expose that. The people are not moving to become cops. I think maybe that's all great stuff. One of the things was that they don't think that the police are now the shining stars they used to be. And maybe this one story here as we move on with the consequence of COVID. Remember, the least police forces also the government will blame that they need more oppressive military. Don't underestimate how this give and take starts to work. Why you can't, I told you, don't become a target. Start to work smarter and more intelligent. Don't engage the smart. Work more intelligent to have the proper challenges in places. And you don't have to get angry. You start becoming the actual squeaky wheel. Cop gets life in prison for using COVID rules to arrest woman before raping and killing her. Maybe what these people before are seeing and tarnishing the police. The cops seem to be this immunity that they've been given to run. Is this a soldier in an occupation? But he gets caught. They can't justify this. And the point was is all these COVID rules are going to be used against people when they're not aware of what their rights are. And you'll read the story of how an innocent woman, obviously innocent, I don't know why to qualify that, but what I'm saying is there was no probable cause. This guy fabricated a probable cause relative to another rule out there and then took advantage. And they say right in the article, but for the woman's thought that there was legitimacy behind this guy who didn't, it wasn't even in a costume, it wasn't even in his patrol car. He had other credentials that she decided that she, for some reason, didn't challenge. And now she's dead. And the point is the cops will do this. And, it's only bad apple. No, the whole system does this. So just knock it off. Why do I say that? Because not one cop has stood up and stopped and walked into the health official and said, wait a minute, you just alarmed the whole population without doing your duty. You heard a cop doing that yet? How about all the cops that sit in these committee meetings, these commission meetings, these board meetings, going up and arresting all the people sitting on the board for not doing their duty? Did they enforce that law? No. So they're all involved in it. I don't care about what the bad apple nonsense is. We're living in a spaghetti Western society right now. COVID is exposing it, and people are protesting, but they're not really they're not making it more formal and keeping themselves out of harm's way. And they are, and it's understandable how you react and that you react. That's not the unnatural part. It's that you have to temper how you react because you have to understand what you're up against. You're up against an occupying force, the agents of which are the people you're trying to convince to work counter to what they're doing and plan. The military has planned this out. They're now monitoring. People are going, these organizations now are going to the president to come wield power within your jurisdiction. Now, how topsy-turvy are you allowing this to go? CDC chief overruled her own agency panel and recommended Pfizer boosters for workers at risk. This is regarding Alaska, and you start to see what's going on. There's some pushback, but you got to find out how it works. Hospitals in Alaska struggle to handle the worsening outbreak. Well, it's not an outbreak if it's a pandemic, isn't it? So they've admitted it's an outbreak local to Alaska. Now, where's the official epidemic from that? See, if you don't read these words to definition, you don't understand they're not telling. They're saying nothing here. But this is the promotion. CDC chief overruled her own agency's panel and recommended Pfizer boosters for workers at risk. That certainly has to be. It's in the power for her to overhead and overrule, but you realize the panel didn't mean nothing except for to you, and they don't care about you as far as the chief's decision. And it's telling you you're watching the deed. Stop thinking that there's a justification behind it. Boosters for Moderna and Johnson & Johnson vaccine recipients weren't up for debate during a CDC panel. Is that a surprise? Has anything been up to a debate? Is a debate what you want to have? I don't think so. See, this, you get to, oh, we got to have a debate. We're going to argue with each other. No, there's a laws and rules that were supposed to be followed. Why don't we all just start focusing on that and get rid of this? I'm going to move on here to Australian public official admits that 6 of 7 recent COVID-19 deaths have been vaccinated. Well, that's right from the Australian government wanting to put the same stuff on you right over here with the CDC negates that her own advisory board. It can't be because there's law going on. Can't be because there's good government going on. Can't be because they're actually having jurisdiction to do this. Everybody's complaining, well, not everybody, lots of people are complaining and seeing it. They, you know, doctors and this and that. They're watching it. Insiders are watching it. No one's really putting it together what this might all mean and what to do. And sticking to that. Not having an opinion, just, and even telling people, this is how you have to challenge this. I can't as an insider. You can right here. This is what my gripe about the so-called the attorneys. They do. Australian public official admits 6 out of 7 recent COVID-19 deaths have been vaccinated. All right? So, I don't know what to say. This just depends on what story you want to read. Go look at, you listen behind the woodshed for over a year and a half, three quarter now, you'll hear all the problems that would have said and predicted that. It's better to see, hear it coming out of the mouth of the oppressor. And despite that fact, and despite the fact that fact in regards to the CDC changing her mind counter to the fact that there's a task force that says that that's what's going to happen, Australia admits to it. Then we get the New York Times coming out. Who can make you get a COVID vaccine? Like they have the line in on what that is. Millions of Americans have chosen to get a COVID vaccine, coronavirus vaccine. It's not even SARS-CoV-2 now, you notice. With the shots readily available, the virus cases ticking up back up in parts of the country. A growing number of employers and universities and businesses are now issuing some form of vaccine requirement. All right, so this is telling you, this is on the media side telling you and setting you up to say these private institutions can do this. And I don't, again, just on the surface of it, you have to go to your state statute to find if there's an exception or exemption that's offered. Then we move on to the next story, again, promoting the condition. Who can make you get a COVID vaccine? Make you get a COVID? Do you understand that? And then, yes, your employer can require you to be vaccinated also from this. And then they reference in this story, they reference that federal oversight commission that I told you, if you look at what there's, so I did that report. They reference that commission and that report. And I told you that if you look carefully, they don't have the jurisdiction to say what they're saying, and they can't override the local requirements on the communicable disease law. That says that New York Times is just a promoter, and yes, your employer can require it. Well, they can if you allow it and don't have another word in your mouth. And so I've got to move on kind of quick here. And we see the pressure, and we see that it's coming, and the jabber jab and all this other stuff. And then when you find out you write your certifications, they then suspend you without a hearing as to whether or not that was a reasonable mitigation or whether that how that interfered with their finances and all that stuff you don't know about. You've heard it behind me, behind the woodshed that I've told you, but you haven't gone read that that's what they were supposed to do, to say, to become righteously indignant that they didn't file a due process even. But as I said, even if they have it, they still have to follow that due process. Will unvaccinated Rhode Island healthcare workers be able to collect unemployment benefits? And they say in this story how that's going to work. It's very interesting that they say likely not. You will likely not. Why? You may lose. Why? Because there's a couple of conditions. And so they promote that in Rhode Island, if you're likely, you just go out with a whimper, without an assertion of your rights and your assertion of your remedies, they will deem you to be not compliant with a lawful order timely made. They actually put two restrictions in here, that they're under state law, failing to comply with a reasonable and clearly communicated employer policy would disqualify a worker from receiving unemployment insurance. As a result, an employee who violates a clearly and timely articulated vaccine requirement would most likely be eligible for unemployment, most likely not be eligible for unemployment insurance. What was the hesitation? Would most likely not. And then the other qualifier, the employee who violates a clearly and timely articulated vaccine requirement. Clearly and timely. Does it have to be a lawful vaccine requirement? Do they have to have the jurisdiction to be able to have clearly and timely? Is your first challenge. And would most likely is the question, did they? Under state law, failing to comply with a reasonable and clearly communicated employer policy. The first clause in the affidavits I'm asking you to review and adapt for your needs. Put the question of reasonableness up front by saying you did not demonstrate a necessity. Therefore, then you defeat the clearly communicated part. I'm talking to Rhode Island now. In something I wrote in another jurisdiction. Because all of this is across the world. It's going to be really the same. You attack immediately the reasonableness and the clearly communicatedness of the assertion by saying, if demonstrating a non-fraudulent exigency. Why? Because in the United States, at least, we know the DOL, the Department of Labor, says it's the burden of the business to find the business necessity. They have to clearly state that. All right. So here, right here in Rhode Island, are you going to lose your unemployment insurance? They're attacking you. I've told you for 2 weeks. The affidavit I want you to look at and start to make a record for will help to mitigate that they can do that, and you become one of those who would most likely. Where they say most likely not, you come into the most likely part to be someone that's asserted your rights, and you have a better chance that they cannot deny your unemployment unless they expose themselves for retaliating. That's the state doing it. And that's why the second affidavit, which is actually the first one you put as a cover affidavit, that's why it says it. It says if you disregard what I'm doing or you do any kind of action against me, it is considered, this affidavit is considered a discrimination complaint under federal law. For those of you outside the United States, you've got to find your federal connection and correlations to United States law. I do believe it's all pretty much the same. It was a con. White House has no idea when or even if OSHA will ever provide rules to support legally enforceable worker vaccine mandates. And you need to read this, because this is the whole point about I've told you, they don't have a jurisdiction to do so. I don't know why someone is surprised to see it was a con. It's always been a con. It's actually not even been a con. It's been absolutely lack of jurisdiction up front. They're just getting you to buy into this attack. And I've been asking you to understand what that is so that you can address it right up front. The OSHA will ever provide rules. They had to provide rules to the agencies, to the employers. They really can't do that. And they're dragging their feet now. Someone sees that. Someone makes an alarm. I've been telling you that's what's the fact of it the whole time. You're going to be local to you. And this is on the 100 workers or more. As I said, this affidavit that you will write for your employer actually helps protect them if you really understand what I'm saying. We're not fighting. We're explaining something to them, and you're giving them their answer to the authority that I'm finding out the company is being threatened with monstrous fines. And so if you have submitted on for your behalf, you put on an affidavit that has a religious or a conscientious objection document, or even if you wanted just to assert the fact they haven't done the necessity and the other three things under the DOL, Department of Labor requirements, and you just did that, that eliminates the reasonable request and the clearly stated request until they qualify their necessity is lawful, that their probable cause to impose is warranted. And so it was a setup, right? Okay, fine. The federal has no authority. None of the federal has authority when you understand what I've been saying. It shouldn't be a surprise. Let's move on quickly here, and I want to get to the point. I'm going to allow, I got a link, the affidavit got posted. In fact, hours of explanation by my colleague on audio line, and I would ask you, I know it's be longer, do it from the first lesson because there was some shifting that had to go on in explanation as we found out how the employers were going to work. On the link I'm going to give you, affidavit class update, it's out of the Jackson County Republican Party website. I have no affiliation to all that. It just so happened that was where the receptive voice was. But in this web link I'll give you, there's the two affidavits. You also have an explanation of what empowers them. I'm not doing that presentation. You have to be able to take the documents. If you're in the jurisdiction of Oregon, you can use them there. You have to take the documents and understand what it is saying. It'd be helpful to listen to the audio. Then you go to your state law and you find the exception statute in the code. And you copy that and replace the one that's in there. You conform this form. See, there's no forms across the nation. Each state has to be conform. That's why I don't like forms. There's some highlighted information. You have to understand what you're going to put in there. But you go to your state statute, you find the exception or exemption statute, you print that. Look for yourself very carefully if it says it's on a particular form. If it isn't part of that statute, then you don't have to file a particular form. That was one of the first objections. You got to do it on a particular form. Well, we say in the affidavit, you'll see it, that that form is improper for the purpose. We're now able to have people that did file the original state's form and got rejected to come in and amend their form with this affidavit saying that was a false inducement. Your form suggestion was a false inducement. And so there's a way to use this. It's not cut and dried. It's fluid, all depending on your condition. But I'm going to go ahead because I haven't gotten any word back, and it's so important you at least start to see how to work this out. There is a link to this affidavit, a religious or conscientious objection, which comes first. It then is become and fully incorporated herein in the cover affidavit. We have two affidavits. You have to give them notarized. They're all both in one sheet of paper. You need to keep it to that. But I'm hoping that your state law quotes for exceptions aren't too exceedingly long to do that. You don't want more than one piece of paper. You're not arguing your opinion. Right? This is an example of what you might consider. In the covering affidavit, comes out and said, notwithstanding any policy requiring the filing of certain forms or content tending to diminish my right of proper and lawful response or to a lawful, non-fraudulent demand, I file this affidavit of religious conviction or conscientious objection fully incorporated herein by this reference for the record pursuant to the state and federal law which provides that, quote, and this punch quotes the federal law. And you need to go read that, and you need to read the following Religious Freedom Restoration Act. And I'm talking to those that have a religious or conscientious objection, but I'm saying the very first part of the clauses in these two affidavits will actually fulfill. If you know, you need a lot, know a lot more, but these two front clauses on this of condition focus the burden back on the employer, and there is nothing then that needs to come out of it if you know what this does, so that you don't do the baby step problems that we're having to feel, that I've been hesitating to show you this stuff. And so listen to what I'm saying, qualify everything, understand the steps that you'll be taking. We move into, moreover, that where the employer exalts itself in purporting to place an unbeliever in a position to judge the word of God, it is blasphemy, satanic, sinful, untruth, and insultive trespass. Now, if you're all religiosity and you get all insulted, then you probably turned off the list. I'm wanting you to listen to the principles coming here. You're asserting that you have, this is the harm to you. You can replace the words if it is still a harm to you in the context you need to use it. And I'm offering that explanation so that you understand everyone has their protection. If you would just, don't talk from your opinion. Just assert the failure on their end and the harm that caused up front. And you let that stand. And then we go on to the end of this whole point that it says, and this is a longer sentence. You have to read longer sentences because these are clausal conditional type sentences. That it ends up coming out that the last semicolon, and that any rejection of the tender of this affidavit will be deemed retaliation for attempting a proper and lawful response to unsubstantiated and therefore wrongful demands or conditions, and then this is a discrimination complaint to be amended as needed. All right? You hear all the proofs that you could just say in the last sentence. This is a retaliation on an improper demand. If you go back to Rhode Island, was that then reasonable if it was improper? No, these statements will counter that, and the burden then shifts back for the employer or whomever, the government official, to put it back. I want you to understand, though, this is for one jurisdiction. Except the cover letter is national for the United States. For anybody outside of those areas, you have to go, and you all have to do this anyway, but for those of you wanting to modify this, you modify, if you're outside the United States on the federal, the cover letter has to go to where the chapter states that provision for the exceptions does not interfere with other rights. The statement is, number four, nothing in this chapter shall be construed to supersede or in any manner affect any workman's compensation law or to enlarge or diminish or affect in any other manner the common law or statutory rights, duties, or liabilities of employers and employees under any law, with respect to injuries, disease, is that the communicable disease law, folks? Disease or death of employees arising out of or in the course of employment. Wow. That has to happen there. See, folks, what I've been telling you? That's copy and paste out of the federal. People outside the United States, go find the same statement. It's a savings clause, and it saves your common law, it saves your statutory rights, it saves everything. Why? Because the authority is local. And when you understand what they're talking about here, Biden cannot have an authority. The OSHA cannot have an authority. In fact, I think this is from OSHA, the jurisdictional stuff. You realize it's not something to fear, it's not something to not engage. Your rights, if you will, your remedies are sitting here to assert. And so I'm offering what's being done in one jurisdiction. Do not take this blind. You need to apply it for your place, where you are, national for the United States, local to the jurisdiction of the state, not applicable necessarily outside, but it's rule of law and democracy. I think those of you that have been reading can find the corollaries, the parallel laws, or codes. And you'll read, if we read the beginning statement where we talk about in the jurisdiction itself, there's again nothing in this statute. It says, again, this is the savings clause, nothing in these statutes or any other public health law of the state shall be construed as authorizing the Oregon Health Authority or its representatives or any local public health authority or its representative to interfere in any manner with an individual's right to select the physician assistant, neuropathic physician, or nurse practitioner of the individual's choice or the individual's choice of mode of treatment, nor as interfering with the practice of a person whose religion treats or administers sick or suffering people by purely spiritual means. Close quote. Well, this includes those that don't have doctors, folks, if you understand to read between the lines. If you haven't chosen one yet, they can't run you over. Anyway, that's quoted directly out of the jurisdiction of Oregon statute. You have to find the corollary to yours. That's all you need to put in there. It's the savings clause. As I've talked to you talk to you, to listen for, read for, find relevant and pertinent right to what you're having to do for yourself. This is not on and on. This is specific to certain things. Anyway, so I spent a lot of time. You get the link. Yes, my dog Rex. Thank you for being in the chat. They will be in the show notes. It's only one website, and it's, again, just a list of the classes, if you will, the audio that explains it. At least, you know, I really hesitate doing these letters and these forms unless I can watch them. But people need to see they're not helpless. People need to see, I believe, because we haven't got any kind of resistance from it, I want to go with the fact that we are in the crickets of their side, is in the crickets. This thing is on point, and you need to see what it's saying, why it's saying, the burdens that it's shifting, the rights, the insults to you, the trespass upon you, the crimes against you being done, is a condition of making your complaint. It's causing the standing. It's setting the burdens. It's causing the injury, all in a short sentence. And I want to point out how simple, I know it's like, it's concise, but we don't have a lot to say. This actually said more than we had to, but that's because the other side wants to just move by automatic. Some of them don't even understand what they're doing. The employers are terrified. They're just wanting to not get underneath the scrutiny of a fine. And here we have, if you listen to what this document, both of these documents do, it hands that answer to the employer. The employer can say, well, this one is perfectly fine under the law. It covers the employer. In fact, it then should embolden the employer to say, yeah, and what about that non-fraudulent exigency? Where did you demonstrate that you're threatening me now? That I have another couple gray hairs over this thing, that I've had to expend people's time and energy and dollars in order to deal with it. Where was that non-fraudulent agency? They get to say that now. All because you stepped up. If they won't, I don't know what to say, but you protected your record, and you could actually go to bat for them saying, well, they're not the problem. You are the government. Now, where's my unemployment if that's what you're going to do to me? But what we're finding is they never go there. But I want you to see the documents. I'm tentative of handing them out. I don't like forms. We've had a couple problems, but people need to see they're not helpless. I mean, to my mind, I wouldn't even use to my mind, not for you all. The first clause relative to each affidavit would likely be what I would assert, and then the harms it's done to not do that, and that would be my affidavit, would be enough. Why? For me, I would be arguing those two points, and why? Because I don't want to cloud the rest of it that there is anything I need to do until they've demonstrated the non-fraudulent exigency. Have I said they can't? No. I've said they haven't, and they were obligated. And by not doing that up front, they've already harmed me, would be my focus. So those of you that get lost in religiosity, don't listen to what I'm saying. You can take, if you know what's in this document, you would just pull out those little pieces, and you don't even have a statement, you don't even have an exemption. What you have is a challenge to their right to assert. You challenge the reasonableness of the assertion. You challenge then, because it hasn't been made reasonable, it can't be timely yet. You throw the whole thing into this mixmeister that you keep track of. Don't get lost in it spinning around and around. You know whether it'll come out, because what you just threw in was their obligation, and it's all been now chewed up. They're going to be having a hard time to reconstitute that. And at any rate, so it's a whole different way to approach this. A different approach. You have no job to do. Your job that you have to do to protect yourself is go to the black and white, copy and paste, throw it in. The obligation on them, the savings clause they weren't supposed to violate, that you, the letter itself, the affidavit says they have violated and caused harm. That is a case. That's a suit. Why I can go in and say that this, if you reject this, it converts this affidavit to the evidence in the discrimination claim, because it is a claim. In other words, I'm doing more work than just saying, would you request, my request, You don't like my nasal stuff, I guess. On my request, will you give me an exemption? No, you're saying no, that you haven't done enough in law to be able to ask me that. That would be my response. I'm not asking you to do that because it's going to take too much more knowledge than I think people have evidence to me. If you can go down these paths and you adjust them for your jurisdiction, the two affidavits that you're going to get at this website, we'll get you a far piece farther than saying nothing. Okay, I guess I'll leave it right there. And please be responsible to the documents. Don't just sign your name and go. It's not going to work that way. It's just not going to work that way. You got to figure out where you are in the process. In other words, like if you filed a previous one and got knocked down, you amend the one that you filed before with these documents. If you're late, you would file them anyway, and then when they try to tell you you're too late, then you come back with the first clauses in both, right? You don't have a time yet. You can't put a time until you've demonstrated your non-fraudulent exigency. So your denial is a retaliation. You can go there. If you understand how fast this really does work, it gives you a better place. In other words, if you look at this, what I've said, where I would go, there's never a time yet. There's nothing they can say that starts their clock of reasonableness until somewhere on some document they've demonstrated the non-fraudulent, for a business, necessity. We speak of non-fraudulent exigency at the point of being a police power. But if they haven't done that, there's no evidence of it, you can come in at any time and show. And then, if they do demonstrate that, and I told you, it's a fallback position, then they do demonstrate a non-fraudulent exigency, then you kind of know the truth, if they ever could do it. Let's say they could do it. You still have your exemption that you could file then, can't you? But would you? Or would you then reassert, okay, there's the non-fraudulent exigency. Where within, in this case, the communicable disease law, where did the official demonstrate that I'm a risk to anyone, let alone in my employment? As I've told you, it's not cut and dry because they come up with the exigency. If they haven't found the official who has the duty to do so, hasn't found you to be someone who's the risk, what's the employer talking about you for? Or to you about? And then when they do find, you could be, maybe you were, then you find back, okay, well, if there's some mitigation measures, I'm going to now assert this, my exemption, whatever the law, whatever you copy and paste out of the law is. Then I will put that in. It ends up being the same document, ultimately, and they have to deal with it. It doesn't get you out. Right? You may have to have some mitigation you may not like, but this is the point that we're getting to now. I best get to that. I don't like, and this is why I don't like the religious or medical exemption. It doesn't address the fraud. The first two clauses in these affidavits do, and that's why you stand there. Because why? Because a religious or medical exemption, well, maybe a medical might, but I don't have a doctor to tell me that. I'm not the one with the doctor to tell me that. Maybe for blood clots, the ejection won't work. But a mask, that's not the same argument. You got to go back to the doctor and say, why with the mask? Well, the mask, you go to doctors, they're not, that's a lot lower bar for them to cross, and they're not really wanting to. You might have to do testing. They'll impose testing. How is testing against your religious beliefs, is what they say. If you have an answer that's foundational, great. Most people don't. I'm not really understanding. I mean, I got some ideas, but nothing real strong is why I don't like any of these exemptions. But if that's what you have, because that's all you have to do, then file it. The clause in those affidavits, the opening clause, trumps all that and says, wait a minute, I don't even have to do testing until you show the non-fraudulent exigency. You find the business necessity. You have to show that. So what I've been offering relative to, forget the exemption, but the attacking of the non-fraudulent exigency demonstration should trump the enforcement of the mitigation of testing, which they're doing to most people. Okay, well, you're going to have repeated testing 2, 3, 4 times a week. Now, we've heard the stories about the tests on that. Not the tests as meaningless. I mean, the taking, the swabs look like they may be a problematic. But anyway, your exemptions that they offer may not be enough to cover. going against them for the lack of reason for making the demands does. And when that demand didn't happen and they made demands upon you and threatened you, that is irreparable harm. Okay, so I've done a little bit more supplemental discussion on the discussion you'll find at the link. You'll see the documentation. Please give respect to what they're doing and do the work it takes to make those relevant to your jurisdiction. Because the government's right here, as we move on now, new preprint study of 50,000 COVID contacts puts to bed the myth that vaccinated people are just as infectious as unvaccinated infected with Delta. Now, this is a government paper going by their documentation, yet next link, so they're going to promote. Next link, another place, you got to read all the numbers to see this. Don't take my word for it. Don't take the word of the article. Look at the fundamentals. UK report, another countering that. Vast majority of Delta variant deaths are not vaccinated people, not unvaccinated people. Why? Because you look at the percentages of the people relative to vaccinated, unvaccinated. What they speak to is unvaccinated. They don't tell you about the vaccinated ones, and yet they're the larger class not spoken to. This shows you that analysis. They refer to SARS-CoV-2 variants. There's not a SARS-CoV-2 biological agent. There's a SARS-CoV-2 entitled chemical weapon. But there, if you look carefully, you'll find out that the government's going to lie. They're gonna get, they want their end. If you don't have an answer somehow, and you don't keep up on this, they're going to get what they want, or you're going to be out in the street and not have an argument against what they were promising for you under the contract, in particular for your unemployment. Remember, I told you they were going to go to that. That's what the threat is. They're threatening then to put on these mitigation measures if you don't get jabbed. I'm telling you, go after the fraud, go after the failure of their necessity that they've already violated you. They're actually breaching your contract of employment. And now your position is much more fortified to begin with. And I think it might take not... I think you become more righteously indignant in a way, not fearful as much as you are. It doesn't mean you won't be fearful because losing a job is not cool. But you're not a victim to this crime that's not been arrested. Now, what is the UK government here talking to people? Well, I guess this report that said that the UK government had fudged the number, didn't tell you about some of the numbers, that while they're saying that it was putting it all to bed, the UK government must have got wind of that and said, well, we got to dumb these people down even more. So the UK government is to begin nationwide fluoridation of tap water. If you think these folks in government think that they want anything about your health, the UK is going to be imposed. The UK military is sitting there. The UK government's military knows that the sentiment of the people is they're catching on. So we're going to start fluoridating your water. Right? Rat poison and all that stuff, like we know. And what's coming on the horizon, make it simpler. Phenomenal, they say. Merck's new COVID therapeutic may be a game changer. All right? This is just to promote what? Novel, brand new, patentable, marketable, commercial products, not the normal stuff. So Merck already has somebody, they didn't even jump into this, but they're going to do the pharmaceutical treatment side of it. Right? They tell you all about this. And they talk about it as a comparison to remdesivir, which has been shown not to be able to pass the studies. So we can believe this stuff, or we can understand what they're doing. And the military is involved. The military is involved in the propaganda, like in Kunukistan, earlier in the broadcast. And yet we see a whole bunch of things talking about, and I'll throw in some links about attorneys are starting to come on board, showing that nearly 50,000 Medicare patients died soon after getting COVID shots. Right? This is just the culling of the herd, folks. The economic drawdown for social help. But thank you, Grimner. I hope you get better and you get back soon to us. And all the help that I get of those of you passing the broadcast around, I'll be with you next week. Tech Diffs for Nature World.
Well, that's another lesson. I hope with today's information you can take it to those that misbehave. From behind the woodshed, leaving his mark on the beast, this is Hal Anthony. Till next time, journey with purpose.
opening up a can of whoop-ass to you is like.
Son, you just opened a whole case of whoop-ass.